Jim Richardson, President, PGA of America. How good of a ring does that sound to you? I know that I'm still looking at the refrigerator magnet I have that says Richardson for secretary, but as we understand the chain of progression, you've moved up and on from that and finally made it all the way to the top. Congratulations, and what's the feeling like?
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it, Rory. It's very humbling to be in a position to try to represent our 29,000 members and associates. So hopefully myself and our board and our staff can do some good things and add some additional benefits and elevate the status of PGA members throughout the country over the next couple of years.
Well, Jim, when I spoke with you in 2015, as we talked for the PGA Championship program, that for the PGA Championship that was going to be played at Whistling Straits that year, you talked to me about moving around the country as a PGA professional, not only here in the Midwest, but in the Southeast and out West and in Hawaii. How much do you feel that all that time spent moving around America will help you in this role as president and also understanding golf in these different parts of the country?
I think working in different areas of the country, as well as different types of facilities, from public, private, obviously high-end resort at Kohler, gives me an understanding of what a lot of our members are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. We have so many different opportunities and so many different types of jobs that PGA members are now filling those roles, from the traditional teacher and coach, the traditional operator running a golf operation or an 18-hole golf course, to those that are running their own companies now and working at golf entertainment centers like Topgolf. So we've got a lot of different golf professionals doing a lot of different great things in the industry. And hopefully my background of working around the country and working in a lot of different types of facilities will give me the knowledge base to pretty much understand what a lot of the members go through and how we can best try to support them and the jobs that they're trying to elevate and trying to grow the game around the country.
How much did the pandemic affect things, shall we say, during this past year? I know that the Ryder Cup was pushed back a year, the PGA Championship actually kind of moved back to its old dates, but I'm sure it's presented a lot of different challenges. And how much have you took a look at everything that's gone on this year and try to be ready to embrace those challenges next year? I know that there's a lot of positive talk about vaccines and people are hoping we'll be back to normal by the spring or early summer, but I'm sure there's a lot of things and challenges that still have to be worked out, maybe especially the first 6 months of the year and until hopefully everybody gets a vaccine and we can feel a little safer out there.
Absolutely. You know, 2020 was really almost a tale of two different golf seasons. In April of this year, we had over 50% of the golf courses in the country were closed based on the pandemic and the restrictions and the shutdowns. And obviously, we were able to work through a lot of that. Really, a lot of kudos to some golf professionals around the country who worked with PGA of America and our staff and a lot of the allied associations to create a document called Back to Golf, to really be able to show governmental officials and health officials how golf could open and stay open in a relatively, safe and healthy type of manner, being an activity that's done outdoors, how you could social distance, how you could take care of a lot of your payment prior to walking in the golf shop. You could do a lot of things online. And everybody really rallied around that, and we were able to open. And over the last few months, we've seen record number of rounds around the country, 20, 25, 30% increases year over year, since August. We need to just try to keep that momentum going. And as you said, now as we head into 21, looks like a vaccine is on its way, and that's really going to help. I think we're still going to see some effect for any type of sporting event, even golf events that are done outside in the first half of the year. And then as we progress into 2021 in the summer months and in the fall, hopefully we'll get back to normal, and really looking forward to that taking place and very hopeful that the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits will be done just as it would have been without the pandemic. And we're going to have the crazy golf fans from the Midwest and from Wisconsin there to support, the favored son there, the local captain, Steve Stricker, as he hopefully brings the cup back to the States.
We've seen such an increase, I understand, over 10% in rounds played for the year, in spite of the fact, as you mentioned, golf courses were closed for a while in much of America during the spring. And, you know, one of the things that the PGA section members across the country do, I mean, people are used to pros giving lessons to golfers for years. It's frequently been their part of their job all the way back for decades. But one of the things now that golf professionals are doing, they're also really getting involved with the club fitting craze that's gone on in recent years. People are getting a better understanding on how to get the right golf clubs in their bag to become a better player. And it has to be great for the PGA of America to see not only the boost in rounds in golf, but also it seems like for chunks of this year, we've seen record equipment sales, which means that not only are people getting new equipment, but more likely people coming into the game and juniors taking up the sport.
Oh, absolutely, Rory. I think two great indicators, as you said, with rounds being up, is the amount of equipment that's been sold and people that are getting into the game and really buying new equipment and excited about using that equipment. But as you said, on the junior space, it's another great indicator. We're tracking this year to have almost 500,000 new juniors get active and participate in the game of golf. And we know when we get the kids involved, that usually gets the entire family involved. We've seen a lot more families golfing together, a lot more boys and girls enjoying the game. And we always know if we can get them young, get them excited and engaged in the game, and, you know, it's a game that you can play for a lifetime. And hopefully we're creating new golfers and new members around the clubs, around the country. And it's a really good sign, I think, moving into 2021, both the increase in rounds, the definite increase and push in new club sales, but also the great participation we've had in the youth space as well.
Jim, one of the things that sort of tees off the golf season every year is a big event that the PGA of America puts on. It's their annual merchandise show down in Orlando. This year, the show has not been canceled. It's been switched to what's being called a virtual format. And I know from some of the companies I've spoke with that normally would have a booth space there, both at demo day out on the range and also a space in the convention center. It seemed like within the last week or two, they were still sort of looking for a little guidance on how all this is going to work from the PGA of America. Is there anything you can share with us about how the virtual merchandise show is going to work and how the people that normally attend that show are going to be able to be in touch with companies that they normally do business with or are maybe hoping to do business with in the new year?
Well, we're going to convert just about everything we can virtually, as you said. We're going to kick off with our teaching and coaching summit, which we typically have big turnout from golf professionals learning some of the new techniques and new procedures that they can utilize with their clubs coming into the golf season. That's going to take place on Monday, January 25th. And then the virtual show itself will be the 26th through the 29th. And we're working through those details now with vendors. We're going to still be able to offer ongoing education for PGA members as they normally would have been able to take advantage of in person. We're setting up those online type of experiences where somebody can see the new equipment or new clothing and virtually kind of deal with their sales reps from around the country. And we're working through some other details to hopefully offer some of the same type of experiences on the main stage presentations and individual vendor presentations that people have seen before. Obviously, it'll be a different experience doing it virtually versus in person, but hopefully it'll also give an opportunity for some individuals that may not have participated and flown down to Florida in the past, now are able to do it, participate from the comfort of their own office or clubhouse or from their home. So hopefully several people are able to take advantage of some of that and not having to travel to take advantage of the PGA merchandise show. So more details to come on that, but we're excited that the vendors have all leaned in and really want to participate and make sure that they're still offering the same type of services and same type of education that they've done in the past. And we're hopeful that PGA members will enjoy it and be able to take advantage of it.
Well, Jim, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball a little bit. There's been some talk about what the show will be like in 2022, and will this virtual experience change the whole concept of what that show is going forward when we jump past the pandemic? Do you think that the 2022 PGA merchandise show will somewhat resemble what we saw in January of this year, or might it all be different again, just based on what it's going to take to put that show on just over 6 weeks or so from now?
I think the pandemic has really changed, you know, business moving forward. And we'll definitely see some changes, I think, to the merchandise show. But I think one of the great things about the golf business and the sport of golf is that personal interaction and the relationships that you can develop spending 4 or 5 hours on a golf course or spending time going through with a vendor some of the new products that they have and learning all about it and how it's going to benefit your operation. So I don't think we'll ever lose that personal touch, that personal interaction, and that ability to really be able to connect with one another. I think that's been vital to the success of golf. And I do think we'll probably change some things, and vendors will be able to offer more online options for those that may not be able to take advantage of being there in person.
Jim, one of the things that seems to be taking shape is the brand new offices and the two brand new golf courses down in Frisco, Texas, what's being called the brand new home of the PGA of America. And sounds like the golf courses are, the construction end of it at least, is close to wrapping up. Some of those holes might even be growing in. But what can you tell us about the new facility? Who's all going to be there working? And a little bit about those two golf courses. I know Gil Hanse is doing one of them. And my understanding is that there are some PGA of America championships coming there in the next several years or so.
Yeah, we're very excited about that project, and it's well underway. Gil Hanse is doing one of the golf courses, and Bo Welling is doing the other. They've already completed both golf courses. I think every hole is seeded except for maybe two or three. So we're very excited about that project as it grows in. They're going to be starting construction this spring on the 10-hole short course and on the putting course and on an expansive practice facility. Our new PGA headquarters, where we'll be moving our education services and center, all of our operational offices and most of our staff moving there. That's already broken ground and is slated to open in January of 2022. And then our great partner in the project, Omni Resorts and Hotels, and the Rowland family based there in Dallas, will be building a 500-room resort and hotel with all the amenities that will break ground next year. So we're very excited about that whole project once it gets completed. It's going to be another great addition to the Dallas area and to Frisco in particular. And as you stated, we were very excited. We've already announced we'll be bringing two PGA championships, two senior KitchenAid PGA championships, and two KPMG women's PGA championships there. So majors on all three tours that will be hosted there in the future, as well as we'll be bringing several of our PGA of America member events there as well, too, with National Club Professional Championships and National Assistance Championships and others. So it's going to be a hub of activity for the PGA. It'll be an anchor resort for the state of Texas, and it'll be great to have majors played in the great state of Texas again with such great history there and some of the most famous golfers of all time having come and developed their games from Texas. And the fact that it's centrally located in a central time zone, I think really gives a lot of benefit and a lot of opportunity for PGA members around the country to be able to utilize that facility for either education, for teaching and instruction, or to be able to just bring members there on golf, getaways. So there's a lot of positives and a lot of pluses to that project. We're all extremely excited about it, and we're looking forward to being able to move there and get it open here in the near future.
Jim, I know that the two major shows that the PGA runs in conjunction with Reed Expositions in Orlando and Las Vegas, excellent markets, excellent places to do these things. But of course, there's some speculation that one of your shows, even if it's only for 1 year, might end up actually over in Frisco, Texas at a new convention center that's supposed to be built as part of that resort. Could you ever see that happening, that at some point some sort of PGA merchandise show actually gets a chance to play out right there down the street from the new office?
Well, I think there's a lot of possibilities for PGA Frisco in that market, that area, and eventually the resort. I think the large one that we have every January, our partnership with Reed Exhibits, it's such a large size right now. There's only really a few convention centers that can even handle that. With the influx of international visitors that are part of that PGA show. So I don't know if it would be able to relocate, but the West Coast show that's now taking place in Vegas and other PGA and hospitality-related conventions could easily move and be housed or could be on a rotating basis in Frisco. And there's just so many possibilities, I think, once that project gets opened, that I wouldn't be surprised if some of those happen there in Texas.
Jim, you touched on it earlier in the interview, but I know a lot of people are really excited about the Ryder Cup in 2021, and I think was the right decision moving it back. The Ryder Cup would lose something of the value of its event. I think, had it been played without fans. I know that the people at Kohler and Steve Stricker, the native Wisconsinites, of course, us folks in Illinois like to claim him a little bit too, since he played for the University of Illinois golf team while he was in college. But tell us a little bit about the Ryder Cup, your expectations, and I'm sure the thrill it will be for you to go back to where you formerly worked and walk in there and see that Ryder Cup and see it at Whistling Straits while you're the president of the PGA.
My family and I are very excited to be able to, you know, just attend the Ryder Cup, but be able to do that at a place where we lived and worked and be able to see so many great friends that we still stay in touch with is really going to be special for us personally. I think for all golf fans, the Ryder Cup has grown and has really turned into such an international sporting event. Almost transcends even just golf. It's become such a big sporting event with all the international interest in it. I think having that type of event there, you know, is really going to showcase a lot of what Wisconsin can offer. There's been major championships played there. Obviously, the Packers are one of the legendary NFL teams and all the major sports that take place in the state. But this will have a bigger, more international, I think, flavor to it, and really will showcase not only Whistling Straits and the Kohler Company, but I think the entire state of Wisconsin. So really excited to be a part of it, really excited to be there for the competition, and extremely excited to see Captain Stricker bring the cup back to Wisconsin and to the States.
You know, one of the things the PGA of America does is it seems like every year they'll, or every other year, sometimes they'll introduce some new national programs. Is there anything that you're planning to roll out in 2021, or are you still a little bit handcuffed by the pandemic on things you might like to do in the year ahead?
Some of our programs have obviously been a little bit affected because of COVID. But one program in particular we've had great success with the last few years is our PGA Junior League Golf. And we're taking that concept to create a PGA Family League where we have the parents and the kids playing together kind of in friendly, you know, get-together matches and friendly kind of competition. So we're starting that this year. We've been testing that a little bit, and we'll be rolling that out more. We're really hoping to not only start that new program, but be able to get back to expanding on some of our programs that have had so much success over the last few years. In particular, the PGA Junior League with the kids and our PGA Hope program, which is our Helping Patriots Everywhere. And it's just such a great program that veterans are involved with, being able to utilize the game of golf as rehabilitation, but also as a way to introduce a lot of the vets kind of back in to society and getting involved in the game and using that in a way that it also helps them recuperate from some of the things and some of the challenges they might be dealing with. So we're really looking forward to expanding on those existing programs and starting this new program with PGA Family Golf.
Jim, the PGA Championship had to move this year, but I believe you'll be moving back to your May dates. Tell us, in spite of the shuffle because of COVID, what the PGA's thoughts are in regards to the PGA Championship being played in May. And obviously, you're going back to a venue that's had a very exciting Ryder Cup and also really an incredible finish the year when Rory McIlroy won there at Kiawa.
Yeah, it was an exciting championship there in 2013 as Rory finishing up at Dark. And Kiawa is a phenomenal facility. You know, Roger Warren, who's the president of the resort, the past PGA president, spent time in Chicago and in Illinois working as well, too. And Pete Dye, another fabulous Pete Dye design there. So we're expecting another great championship in the history there at Kiawa. We've worked with the political officials and the local health officials there, and we're going through weekly plans of hopefully being able to conduct the championship as normal, but we have to make sure that we're adhering to all the different guidelines and really listening to a lot of the health officials. There was great interest for that championship. They released the ticket sales to the general public the Monday after this year's PGA Championship and sold out in 3 or 4 days. So there's a huge interest for people to attend and go to the championship at Kiawa. We're hopeful that we'll be able to do that, but if not, we'll work with the political and health officials in the state of South Carolina, and we'll have as many people there as we're able. So we're excited about it. It's a great venue. It's had great history there. Fans have really shown an interest, and we're hopeful, very, very hopeful, that we'll be able to conduct that under normal conditions.
What's it been like having one of the younger players out on tour, Colin Morikawa, as your defending champion heading into this year's PGA Championship?
Well, he's one of just a handful of great, great young players. He put on a great performance at Harding Park this past May, especially the way that he played the last nine holes. And I think that's how you want to see every championship won, is somebody really goes out and makes the quality golf shots to win a championship versus someone, maybe faltering at the end and losing it. He was a great champion this year. He had an incredible PGA championship at Harding Park and some great stories with the fact that he played collegiately at Cal Berkeley, just right across the bay, and was kind of a local favorite for some of the people that were able to attend, mostly the volunteers and the officials. But, he's a great young player and should be around for quite some time. And we're starting to see a little bit of that torch being passed from some of the names that we've seen on leaderboards for the last 10 or 20 years, and Tiger Woods is in the Phil Mickelsons, and we're seeing a lot of these new young players now, and Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, as you stated, and this past week, Victor Hovland won. So there's a great group of 20-somethings that are coming up on the tour now and starting to win and show their presence. So I think several of those players, along with Colin, are going to be around for quite some time, and we'll be seeing those names on the leaderboard for years to come.
It seems like everyone that steps into the role that you currently have as president, and whether it's the PGA of America or the USGA or various other golf organizations or even the various tours that we have out there, like to bring something from their administration, maybe an area where they'd like to see more progress, a program that they believe is long overdue to that organization or that tour. I know you've had some time to think about it, and they'll past few years as being an officer of the PGA. Is there anything you'd like to do during your time as president to sort of add to the great tradition of the PGA of America?
Well, our mission statement has been the same for over 100 years, which is to elevate the status and the vocation of the PGA member and to help grow the game. And we've done some really good things in both of those regards. But I think as the industry continues to grow and there's more opportunities for our golf professionals, it's really that first part, which is to elevate their status, both at their clubs and their companies and their business and in their communities. So we're going to really work hard the next couple of years in providing additional resources, additional education, and additional opportunities so PGA members can elevate their status and elevate themselves in the industry as well, too. So I'm hopeful that through a lot of people doing a lot of really good work, we're going to be able to do that and accomplish that over the next couple of years. And with that, we'll help grow the game, and that'll be good for everybody that's involved in the golf industry.
Well, Jim, in closing, I know that some PGA professionals don't get to spend the amount of time they'd like actually out on the golf course or giving lessons or just doing some of the things that people expect them to do on a regular basis as part of their job. Since the role of the PGA professional over the years has grown, it seems like some of them get trapped in their office a little bit. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that would love to see their pro out on the lesson line or see them out on the golf course or maybe even on that group trip with 30 or 40 members to a destination property. And I know that I guess I would be one of those people who would hope that more of the great pros that make up the organization of the PGA of America get a little more chance to not be so trapped in their office sometimes with all the paperwork that goes on to running a successful golf operation.
Well, it's all about growing the game. And the more people we get playing the game, the more people we get enjoying the game, the more people that are having fun are going to come back and play more often. So it usually starts with the golf professional being the face of that operation and being out teaching and playing and showing everyone how much fun you can have with playing the game. And in that regard, Rory, I agree with you 100%. The more we have golf professionals out teaching and playing with members and playing with customers, showing them how fun the game can be, I think the more people will keep in it for a lifetime and the more people will introduce to the game for the first time. So it's a great recommendation for anyone that's listening. Go out and play more golf. And if you're a PGA professional, do that as well, too. Go out and play and grab some guests or grab some members with you and go out and prove to them and enjoy around the golf and show them how fun golf can be.